The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Wow, I don't know what we were doing there. Anyway, it's good to be back. It's good to be with you. And I'm going to break some radio rules today because I'm going to play for you all 25 minutes. Okay, this is 25 minutes of a dissertation, a presentation that Matt Walsh from The Daily Wire gave at Georgia Tech recently. And, of course, there were a bunch of liberals there that didn't want him to be there because of the title of his talk, Here's Why Men Don't Belong in Women's Sports. And this is in 25 minutes. It's the best breakdown dissertation of the whole trans argument. And he's basing it on Leah Thomas, who's the guy who thinks he's a woman, who's the swimmer, right? And they're letting him swim in the NCAA with women, which is why he's winning all the time. And just the madness of all that. So that's it's so good. I'm just like, forget it. I'd rather give the airtime to Matt Walsh in this case. And for you to be exposed to this, and you're going to just put your thinking caps on, okay, and listen through. It's very logical. It makes perfect sense. It's excellent. But the call of this talk, Here's Why Men Don't Belong in Women's Sports, is really to get you to the point where you're willing to say no to that madness. No to the gender confusion. No to transgenderism. No to changing pronouns. And all of that kind of craziness, okay? Just getting to the point where you're willing to say no to insanity, which I just saw another poll. Friend sent me this poll. What percentage of people, it's like 40% and plus, are afraid to share their opinions in public? They're afraid to get fired. They're afraid of all kinds of repercussions as truth goes out the window because it's got a personal cost for you. So, like, here's something. This was in the Daily Wire. For example, 67% of Americans say Disney is wrong to oppose the Florida bill banning kindergarten through third grade instruction on sexual orientation and gender identity. 67% said Disney's wrong because Disney came out and opposed that. Then there's this. USA Today's on March 15th today. Meet USA Today's Women of the Year. Woman, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, except a man got in there. And the man would be Rachel Levine, who's the highest ranking openly transgender official in the White House. It's the Assistant Secretary of Health, who's got a mental health problem. Rachel Levine is a man. But he's on USA Today's Women of the Year list. Sorry, ladies. And then there's this. Wisconsin teachers instructed to hide students' gender identities from their parents. That's a story that came out recently, this one from the National Review just yesterday. And there's actually in Wisconsin a school board that's like, yeah, if kids are exploring their gender and thinking about changing their gender, we don't have any obligation to let the parents know. We need to support this 13-year-old's idea of gender confusion. And so this is literally 25 minutes, so it's going to play. I'm going to play it through in each segment today, okay? So This is Matt Walsh. He's at Georgia Tech. He's from the Daily Wire. Here's why men don't belong in women's sports. And we're going to play through the whole thing. It's 25 minutes, okay? And if you're on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, you're going to see the video. On radio, you're going to hear the audio. But listen carefully. And it's totally logical, okay? You don't have to grab a thesaurus or a dictionary. It's totally logical. Let's just do the first part, and then we'll keep coming back to it with each segment. All right, we ready, Josh? All right, hit it. Let's go. This is Matt Walsh.
Leah Thomas is a man, back to the subject in hand here. And I'll be using the word he in reference to Leah Thomas and any other man that I might refer to today. And in fact, I want to begin there with some thoughts about language. Because this issue is much bigger than sports. So we got to start with language. The trans agenda has infiltrated our society largely through language. Now, I don't mean that the gender ideologues use language to make compelling arguments. No, not at all. They have no compelling arguments, as we just saw there. They have no arguments to make at all. They don't even have coherent arguments, let alone compelling ones. Rather, they like to manipulate language itself. They make it into their pet. They talk about preferred pronouns, but a pronoun is a grammatical construct. It has to be deployed according to the laws of grammar, not the fickle whims of the individual. Now, if I'm standing, let's say, on this stage, let's just call it a stage for the purpose of the analogy, and you want to communicate to someone else about the fact that I am standing on this stage, you will say to that person, he is standing on the stage. It would be grammatically and factually incorrect to say, she is standing on the stage, as she denotes a human female, which I am not. It also would be incorrect to say that they are standing on the stage, as that indicates more than one person, and I'm just one person. And it would be incorrect to say Z or Zer is standing on the stage, as that suggests that I'm some sort of space alien, which, as far as you know, I'm not. Now, in a similar way, if I am standing on a stage, and let's say that I insist that my preferred preposition is off, it would make no sense for you to respect my preferences and tell everyone that I'm standing off the stage. Now, I may prefer the word off, whatever that means. I may think that I am off. I may identify as someone who stands off of things, not on them. But that doesn't change the objective fact that I am indeed on the stage. Prepositions, nouns, verbs, and pronouns, unless they're used in a fictional story or a poem or something, are meant to convey objective facts about reality. Now, if they're not going to perform that function, then they no longer perform any real function at all, and meaningful, useful words have been reduced to impotent nonsense. But shouldn't we just be polite and call people by their preferred pronouns anyway? The answer is no, and here's why. First of all, I think we should establish, just a general note here, that you don't really call somebody a pronoun when you're speaking to them, right? If you want to address a person directly, you usually use their name. And a name can be whatever you want it to be. If a woman says that her name is Fred, or a man says his name is Sally, I will call her Fred and him Sally. Because names are, by definition, personal, subjective, arbitrary. You know, you could change your name if you want. No one can say you can't. Pronouns are objective and also generally more distant in the way that they're used. You're usually called by a pronoun when you're not physically present for the conversation, or at least when you're not the one being addressed in the conversation. So, when someone insists on a preferred pronoun, he's trying to prevent you from using proper grammar even when he's not in the room with you. He's saying to you, whenever you refer to me, even if I'm 10,000 miles away, you must abandon the rules of proper grammar and parrot whatever gibberish I have assigned to you. You must bark like a dog on my command, even when I'm not even here. That's not only absurd, it's also arrogant in the extreme. That's the other thing you find about the proponents of gender ideologies, that they are all, every single one of them, massive narcissists, control-hungry narcissists, who think they have the right to control everything about society and everything you say and do. They don't. That's just not how language works. It's not how life works. It's not my job to enforce your self-perception. Okay? You might see yourself...
Pause it right there. It's not my job to enforce your self-perception. Did you hear what Matt Walsh is saying? This is Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire at Georgia Tech. Okay, just recently, and he was giving this dissertation, this talk, here's why men don't belong in women's sports. But Matt Walsh is just talking about reality. Okay, he's talking about the truth. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back after this. Are you willing to say no to the madness? And I know there's part of us as Christians, there's part of us as a Christian, there's part of me as a Christian that's like, I don't like to unnecessarily damage people. I don't want to harm people. But look at this. My friend Matthew Faraci sent this. This is done through Summit Ministries, and then we're going to get back to Matt Walsh. Here's why men don't belong in women's sports. Say no to the transgender madness because they're trying, this is narcissistic in a power and control move, trying to force you to agree with something that's patently false. Okay? So in this poll, voters fear discrimination, oppose cancel culture, support religious freedom. 42% of voters hesitant to share their beliefs publicly. And fully one-third fear losing their jobs due to beliefs. What? Yes, 42% of voters, a representative poll of 1,000 people, adults across the country. 42% of voters are hesitant to share their beliefs publicly. Why? Because of shaming, you might lose your job, all kinds of that stuff. But now they believe in their right to express their opinions, but they're afraid to do so. And so they don't. They shut up. And so you have a conversion, a mass conversion experience where it's the emperor doesn't have any clothes. Hey, guys, what's the emperor? He's still walking around nude today. No, he's fully dressed, Steve. I mean, I can't believe you just said that. Right? It's like mass psychosis. We just saw the same thing happen with COVID. So this is Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire. He was at Georgia Tech recently. The name of his talk was, "Here's Why Men Don't Belong in Women's Sports." It's excellent. It's the best 25-minute dissertation on this subject I've ever heard. We just paused it at the end of the last segment. By the way, I shared the whole thing on Facebook, so you can go listen to it. It's on his Facebook page. It's on YouTube. But I shared it on my Facebook pages, the Steve Noble Show page, as well as my personal page. So you can go watch it there. Then you can pause it and do whatever. But I'm playing through the whole thing. So we just paused it at the end of the last segment. Now we're going to hit play, and we're going to keep going. Go ahead.
As a woman. But that's not how, if you're a man, that's not how I see you. And that's not what you actually are. And so I cannot be required to affirm what I do not believe and what I know to be untrue. And further, it is not my job to adopt your perception of yourself whenever I'm talking about you. What kind of nonsense is this? Now look, I might perceive myself as handsome and intelligent. Many of you are laughing. You don't perceive me that way, and that's fine. What I cannot do is require that everyone who speaks about me must also have the same perception. My self-perception is not a project that I can assign to the entire world. It's my self-perception. It's my business, not anybody else's. Second point, using an incorrect pronoun, incorrect as in a pronoun that does not properly convey objective reality, is not only nonsensical, it's also dishonest. So if I say she drove to the store when I'm talking about a man, then I'm lying. Now, I may be lying with the best intentions. I may be lying because I'm trying not to hurt anybody's feelings. But a lie is a lie. I am conveying an untruth. And it is bad to convey untruths because the person I'm speaking to, whoever it is, deserves to know the truth. Now, if I didn't think they deserved to know the truth, then I shouldn't be saying anything to them at all. And the person I'm referring to also deserves to know the truth, which is why if I'm talking to someone directly, I'm not going to respect their preferred pronouns. I will call them what they are to their face. Because a confused and deluded person needs the truth. He doesn't need us to participate in and encourage his delusion. Now, that may be what he wants, but it's not what he needs. And it won't help him in the long run. And at any rate, he doesn't have the right to control my speech or compel me to lie on his behalf. But then we get to this question of, well, doesn't grammar and language evolve over time? Well, it does. However, language evolves according to coherent rules and standards. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about people making up their own rules individually, which isn't evolution, but degradation, fracturing, collapse. See, language is a symbol. It's a sound meant to represent something. We say elephant to talk about elephants and camels to talk about camels, but things could have worked out so that we say camels to talk about the animals that we know as elephants and vice versa. There's no reason why we had to use those particular sounds to represent those animals. It just worked out that way. And so language can shift and change over time. But most changes in language happen relatively organically. Due to a wide combination of influences, people begin to slightly adjust the verbal symbols they use for certain things. And eventually the official grammatical rules change, you know, to reflect that. They change descriptively, not proscriptively. Now, what's happening with pronouns and with all the language around gender is not like this. This is a top-down change. The grammar rules are being changed proscriptively. Our cultural elites have decided, for ideological reasons, that we ought to be using different words. And they plan to berate and scold and punish us until we comply. That's not a natural evolution of language. That's an intentional manipulation of language, which is a very different thing. Just look at what they're doing with the made-up nonsensical word Latinx or Latinx. I say Latinx. I think Latinx is how it's pronounced. Now, almost nobody in the Hispanic community uses that word or likes it. They've done studies on this in many polls. Very few like that word. Yet the elites keep using it and pushing it and pushing it, hoping that eventually people will submit and start adopting it in daily use. And if and when that day happens, they'll then turn around and say, look at that, language evolved. No, calling that natural evolution, it's like injecting drugs into a lab rat. And then it grows a third ear and you say, it evolved. This is something that you did. Now, there have been other examples of this kind of unnatural, imposed evolution of language. African-American became the preferred term in the 90s to supplant black, and then went back to black again, then it was replaced by people of color, which is considered politically correct, while colored people is horrifically racist. Now, all of this is pretty arbitrary and kind of ludicrous, and mostly the result of elites telling us what words we should be using, but That's not nearly as bad as the pronoun change. Because in the former case, the verbal symbols to describe a certain reality are being changed. Okay. But with pronouns, they wish to change the symbols and the thing that is being symbolized. The point of making pronouns fluid is to give the impression that people are fluid. They're not just trying to change the way we describe things. They also want to change that which is being described. They don't simply want you to use different words to describe certain men. They want you to see those men differently, as, in fact, the opposite of what they actually are. They want you to think that they are not men at all. Now, that all may have seemed like a long digression about grammar, when really we're supposed to be talking about sports. But actually, it's not a digression, because we're not really here to talk about sports. We're here, rather, to talk about the truth. And that's what's under assault. Not simply women's sports, but truth itself. Now, women's sports is just one battleground in the war for truth. That's why I care about it. I freely admit that I am not exactly an ardent fan of women's college swimming. In fact, I can only name one women's college swimmer, and he's not even a woman. So, but I am a fan of the truth and of justice and common sense. And all of these things are under assault when men are allowed to intrude sports. That's why it matters. Now, I've said that Thomas is not a woman, and I've established why I will not refer to him as such. But how do I know that he's not a woman?
Let's stop right there.
Well,
so this is Matt Walsh speaking recently at Georgia Tech. The name of his talk is Here's Why Men Don't Belong in Women's Sports. Here's Sports Illustrated daily cover to swim as herself. This guy, Leah Thomas, right on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the delusion continues, but not on this show, and certainly not with Matt Walsh, and hopefully not with you and not with me out in public, where most of us are afraid to share our truth, the truth, for fear of backlash. We'll be right back. Right there on the cover of Sports Illustrated, the daily cover to swim as herself, Leah Thomas, the guy that's pretending to be a woman and getting away with it and swimming against women and usually crushing his competitors. How convenient is that? And just like USA Today, they're Women of the Year. This is, just came out March 15th, came out today. And bada bing, bada boom, there he is, Rachel Levine. According to USA Today, she became the highest-ranking openly transgender official when the Senate confirmed her as Assistant Secretary of Health in October 2021. Fine. If he wants to go by the name Rachel, that's his business. Fine. Whatever. Okay, Rachel. But he became the highest-ranking openly transgender official when the Senate confirmed him as Assistant Secretary of Health in October. That's just the truth. The fact that Rachel has gender dysphoria doesn't mean I have to then become a liar. Even though Rachel is, and everybody that supports Rachel is. Because they got to keep hope alive. What hope? The hope that there's an alternative truth than to God's truth. Because you got to suppress the truth and replace it with a lie. Romans chapter 1. I say this probably every week on this show and have for years. There's really only one particular chapter in the Bible to really understand fully what you see, the madness around you, and it's Romans chapter 1. Okay? We don't want there to be a God. We don't want to have to bow the knee. We don't want to have to admit our sin. We don't want to deal with Jesus and God and all that stuff. So we got to get rid of them. And then once we pick that team until he interrupts and we get saved, then you're going to go down any road you have to in order to support your position, including saying that Rachel Levine is a woman when in fact he's a man. And that's what Matt Walsh is talking about. This is so good, 25 minutes, that I'm like, I can't cut this up. I can't reproduce it. So we're just going to play the whole thing on the show today. But the whole thing, the regular video, I shared it on my Facebook page, the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, as well as my personal page. So if we happen to be regular personal friends on Facebook, you can find it there as well. Here's why men don't belong in women's sports. Now he's getting more into genetics and the reality, the physical reality of all this. This is Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire. We're just going to hit play and keep going. All right, let's go.
The word woman, just like the word man, has a definition. A woman, by definition, is an adult human female. That is the literal definition of the word. A man, by definition, is an adult human male. Now, those are the only two options available for a human species. That's all you got. You have no other options. There is no third sex. It doesn't exist. All humans who have ever lived on Earth have been either male or female, every single one. We call this a binary system. There are no non-binary people. And that's why if you want to go to Amazon and order a shirt with the non-binary pride flag, it will come in either men's or women's sizes. Now, what is a female? That's the next question. A woman is adult human female. Well, what's a female? Okay, glad you asked. What is a female? Well, a female is someone with XX chromosomes, a female reproductive system, female gametes or eggs, the ability in principle to ovulate and bear offspring. There are females who suffer from illnesses, mutations, injuries, deformities, maybe are simply postmenopausal, and so therefore are prevented from performing some of these natural female functions. That doesn't make them any less female. It is instead an exception that proves the rule. Here's why. When a female cannot bear children, we know that something is physically wrong. Something's gone wrong here. If she's of childbearing age and she can't bear children, something is wrong. Something's not working right. Maybe it can be fixed, maybe it can't. But we know that because we know that women are supposed to be able to bear children. But when a man cannot bear children, we know that that is not a sign that anything has gone wrong. Because men are not supposed to bear children, and no man in history ever has or ever will. Now, if as a woman you go to the doctor and tell him that you're unable to conceive children in your womb, he'll run some tests to figure out what's wrong with your body. If as a man you go to the doctor and tell him that you're unable to conceive children in your womb, he should run tests to figure out what's wrong with your brain. But as it happens, the joke doesn't really work because our society has lost its entire mind, which means that he might actually give you hormone pills to help you transition into a woman. But you'll note that, and much to the disappointment of some of the men who have unfortunately undergone this procedure without realizing, even after becoming a woman, still the man will not be able to ovulate, will not be able to conceive children, will not be able to perform any of the exclusively female functions, ever, because he is not a female and will never, ever be one. Thomas is not a female and will never be one. He's a man, a male, with XY chromosomes, a male anatomy, as the women who've seen him in the locker room have attested, male gametes. But there's a lot more to being a male than just that. I mean, indeed, the physical differences between men and women are not confined to the reproductive system. They can be found in every bodily system, in every part of the body. You know, Leah Thomas, like any male, is male down to his bones, down to his cells, down to his DNA. When he dies and is buried beneath a giant monument celebrating him as history's greatest female athlete, 100 years from now, he could be excavated and his bones analyzed, and scientists will be very confused to discover that the greatest female athlete was a dude. His bones will attest to the biological reality. They will not declare his pronouns, his bones. They won't affirm his self-perception, because there will be no self. The self will be gone, but the man will remain. Think about that. When you die, one of the very last things to remain of you is your sex, even after almost everything else is gone. That's how fundamental it is. Now, many of these biological differences happen to give him a distinct advantage over women in sports, especially swimming. When he gets in the pool this week here at Georgia Tech, he'll be swimming against people with 20% less muscle mass on average, 40% less upper body strength, 33% less lower body strength, smaller fast twitch muscle fibers, smaller lungs, smaller hearts, shorter legs, more estrogen, less testosterone, a lower capacity to produce oxygen when they exert themselves. Courageously, Thomas has chosen to race against people who have literally dozens of immutable biological disadvantages in comparison to himself. What a hero. Now, these advantages are why the fastest man in the world is always faster than the fastest woman. Does that mean that every man in the world is faster than every woman? Of course not. But the fastest man in the world is always faster than the fastest woman. And you know what? If the fastest man dies, the next fastest will still be faster than the fastest woman. In fact, if the 100 fastest men all got on a plane to go to a fastest man retreat, and then on the way, tragically, the plane crashed and they all died, the 101st fastest man, who is now the fastest man by inheritance, is still faster by a lot than the fastest woman. And then the next 100 fastest men, they could also go to the same retreat, stupidly, and die also and the next batch of 100 are still faster than the fastest woman. We could do the same thing with strongest man versus strongest woman. We won't go through the whole thing again. Now, the Olympics attest to this. There has never been a time, ever in history, not once, when the women's racing or swimming champions were faster on average than the men. It has never happened in history and never will. These advantages are why there's, in fact, a whole website, maybe you've seen this, dedicated to comparing high school boys' track and field champions against female Olympians. The high school boys outperform the female Olympians in almost every category by huge margins. Taking one example, the New Balance Nationals Outdoor Meet is one of the preeminent high school track meets in the country. If the 2016 high school boys finalists in the 100-meter race were to have raced against the 2016 female Olympic finalists, the fastest woman would have come in ninth place against high school boys. Ninth. Gold, silver, and bronze all go to the boys. Places 4 through 8 all go to the boys against female Olympians. Now, this holds true in almost every event, and it's not just track, and it's not just hypothetical. Some of this has actually been tested. Back in 2017, a team of 15-year-old boys scrimmaged against the U.S. women's national soccer team and beat them 5-2, which is just great, first of all. Male and female athletes are so different, separated by such a vast biological chasm, that you can actually count the total number of dunks made by the WNBA players in the history of the league. Like, this is counted, because it's only happened 28 times, and 23 of them were by the same player. Now, for comparison's sake, there's a player in the NBA who dunked the ball 300 times by himself in one season. That's one player in 1 year dunking it almost 10 times more than the entire WNBA over the course of a quarter century. Men and women are different. Very different. There's no denying it. Men are stronger, they are faster. They are better at almost every competitive sport. Literally every line of evidence supports this. All of the evidence, all of it, supports the claim that men in general have biological advantages over women in sports. There is no evidence to the contrary. None. Which is why you'll notice that the people on that side never produce any evidence.
Yep, there you go. Let's pause it right there. You never present any evidence because it doesn't exist. Just a great, great presentation by Matt Walsh from Daily Wire. Here's why men don't belong in women's sports. By the way, on Facebook Live, I just shared the link to that website he was talking about. Boys versus Women. BoysVSWomen.com. Go look at it for yourself. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, taking you through Matt Walsh's presentation just recently at Georgia Tech. Here's why men don't belong in women's sports. He's talking about Leah Thomas, the man that's pretending to be a woman and swimming against women and winning all over the place. And Matt's just reminding us about language matters, talking about pronouns. And there are rules in reality to language and pronouns, just like there are rules in reality to gender and sex, male and female. Those are your only two options. And then he's talking about the whole sports thing, and he's bringing up the fact that men just have advantages against women. So he talked about this website, boysversuswomen.com. I put the link up on Facebook Live. And then the link to Matt's whole conversation with some Q&A at the end of it, I also put up. It's on my Facebook Live page right before the show went live, okay? But here's looking at it, boysversuswomen.com. That's VS, okay, boysversuswomen.com. Through all track and field events and swimming events, and they took the real scores from the 2016 boys national champions in America versus the 2016 Olympians. These are the best female athletes in the world who made it into the Olympics and competed versus a bunch of high school boys. 2016 high school boys, 2016 Olympians. Okay. And out of 87 events, the boys won 81 medals. The girls won 6. The boys won all the gold medals except 1. The boys won all the silver medals except 2. And they won all the bronze medals except 3. So the women, the best women in the world competing against high school boys, how humiliating. Olympics, Olympic levels, the best athletes in the world, you could make that case, versus high school boys. And the high school boys in the Olympics would clear them out. 81 medals versus 6. Shellacked. I think that's what Leah Thomas ultimately wants to do here, is compete in the Olympics against women, because he's got a huge advantage. And it's all about him, right? Okay, so we got 7 minutes to finish up Matt Walsh, and then a couple of comments from me at the end. Okay, let's hit play. Right back at it.
They can't defend their position. They can't even really explain their position, because they run into a basic logical problem, which I've talked about quite a bit, and I'll talk about it again here. So, for example, they say that Leah Thomas is a woman, right? But they can't tell you what they mean when they say that. What is a woman? Now, gender theory has made it so that the word woman itself and the word man have no meaning. Leftists, because of their ideological commitments, cannot define the terms. They say trans women are women. They say that someone can start out life as a woman and transition, or as a male and transition into a woman. But how can I understand any of these claims and these declarations if I don't know what they mean by the word? And how can they make any meaningful statements about womanhood if they themselves don't know what they mean by the word? So I ask very simply, as I've been asking for years, as I asked on Dr. Phil, what is a woman? Now, they say that biology has nothing to do with womanhood. Okay? Well, what does have something to do with womanhood? If we can't define a woman physically, how can we define her? What is a woman? What does it mean? Now, if you're on the left, what exactly are you trying to say? When you say that such and such biological man is a woman, what are you trying to convey about that person? What do you mean? You say Leah Thomas is a woman. Okay, well, what, he's a what? What does that mean exactly? It's a fair question, isn't it? And I've been told by the few that attempted to give an answer that a woman is anyone who identifies as a woman. But that definition doesn't work, because you can't use the word you're defining in the definition. If I ask you for the definition of an apple, and you say an apple is that which is an apple, well, you haven't really told me anything about apples. I still don't know what an apple is. Same goes for a woman. Now, you might say that a woman is an adult human female, or anybody who identifies as an adult human female. But that's just another way of saying that a woman is an adult human female or not an adult human female. And that's just another way of saying that a woman is nothing in particular. Woman has no definition, if that's the definition. Also, the person offering that definition is themselves drawing a distinction between a person who is a thing and a person who identifies as a thing. I mean, the very phrase, trans women are women, seems to admit that trans women are not really women. Because if they're women, then why are you calling them trans? What does the trans part denote? See, the trans part seems to be pointing to some kind of elemental, crucial difference between these two categories. And I would say that that crucial difference is what makes them separate categories. When it comes down to it, if the word woman means nothing, it's nonsensical to identify as one, given that you're identifying as something that's not really anything. Now, is a woman in the end just anybody who enjoys feminine things or dresses in a feminine way? You hear these insane, abusive parents who say, you know, my four-year-old boy really liked The Little Mermaid, and that's when we first realized he's a girl. Well, see, femininity, though, cannot be the defining quality of being a woman, because we can't define feminine until we've defined woman, as the definition of feminine is having qualities or an appearance traditionally associated with women. Besides, the left has been trying to break down the societal constructs of feminine versus masculine for years. How can you go from saying, as I heard all when I was growing up, going back again decades, it used to be, well, not all women should be expected to be feminine. And now what? The only defining characteristic of a woman is femininity? For years and years and years, they said, in fact, that if a boy plays with a Little Mermaid or plays with dolls, that there's nothing wrong with that. It's not girly. And now they're saying that if a boy plays with dolls, he actually is a girl. Talk about reinforcing the gender binary. They can't answer these questions. They insist that our conception of womanhood is wrong, and then we ask them what the right conception is, and they shrug their shoulders. We don't know what a woman is, they say, but whatever a woman is, you know, Leah Thomas is that. That's nonsense. And we all know that it's nonsense. Even most of them know, the people marching around outside with the signs. Almost all of them know that this doesn't make any sense. And yet we're supposed to cooperate with it anyway. We're supposed to abandon all at once the fundamental truth that all of us know and have always known. And we're supposed to do it for no other reason than it will hurt people's feelings if we don't. It'll hurt Leah Thomas's feelings. Of course, his feelings are the only feelings that matter, right, when it comes to the swimming issue. His feelings and the feelings of other trans people, I mean, those feelings, for some reason, are supposed to outweigh the feelings of women who don't want their sports destroyed and their privacy invaded and their very identities appropriated and stolen and cheapened and fetishized and turned into a Halloween costume. The feelings of a million women are dust when stacked up against the feelings of one gender-confused man. All of reality is dust. Biology, science, truth, all of it is supposed to be thrown out the window because of one trans person's feelings. Well, I say to that, no. That's what I say. And I urge everyone in this room to say no to this. Don't affirm what you know are lies. Everyone knows it's a lie. Don't cooperate with what you know is wrong. Don't abandon what you know is true. Don't pretend to believe what you don't believe. So it takes a lot of courage in this world, I think, to say no. It's a word that's not said nearly enough. A guy like Leah Thomas has never heard it in his life. Ever. No one's ever told him no. No one's ever sat him down and said, dude, no. This is not happening. But he needs to hear it now. All the gender ideologues need to hear it now. All of the liars and frauds trying to push and coerce and shame us into surrendering our common sense. All the cry bullies using emotional blackmail because they have no arguments. Everyone demanding that we pretend to believe what we don't believe. All of them everywhere need to hear it. No. And that's it for me. Thanks, guys.
All right, appreciate there you it. Go. Incredible. Okay, so I shared that whole thing on my Facebook page. I just shared it on the Facebook Live feed as well. So no. And did you hear that? Cry bullies. Cry bullies. So they're cry babies, but they're actually bullies. Cry bullies. And then don't neglect your allegiance to the truth as a Christian and confuse that with compassion and care and love for people. If Jesus came to tell us the truth, he's the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what's one of those truths? You guys are hopeless. That's a truth. I don't want to hear that. You're hopeless. You can't work your way out of this. You can't dig yourself out of the hole. You need me. I have to take care of the price that you've incurred because of your sin. You can't fix it. Not a single thing that you can do. I don't want to hear that. But it's the truth. And you have to hear it because it's the truth that will set you free. Okay? And so when you look at Leah Thomas, this is the front page of Sports Illustrated. I am Leah, the trans swimmer dividing America, tells her story. Fresh off her final practice of the week, the most controversial athlete in America. And here he is, the cover of Sports Illustrated. Of course he's going to drink this in. Leah Thomas had done some of her best work this season while feeling cornered. On this January evening, her long torso was wrapped in a University of Pennsylvania swim and dive jacket. Her hair still damp from a swim. She looked exhausted, so on and so forth. This had been a season unlike any in her 22 years and unlike any in the history of her sport. Now he is making history. This is like Fauci. Of course you're going to get drunk when you get this kind of attention. The shy senior economics major from Austin became one of the most dominant college athletes in the country and, as a result, the center of a national debate. A living, breathing, real-time Rorschach test for how society views those who challenge conventions. No, for how society deals with liars and mentally ill people in this case. And I know for some people that's like, I sound like this terrible Christian because I'm just coming right out and saying it, but no. You tell the truth because you, number one, love God, and number two, you love your neighbor as yourself. You have to know the truth because the truth is the only thing that will set you free. Leah Thomas doesn't need an operation. Leah Thomas needs treatment. And he doesn't need the world, including Sports Illustrated, telling them that his treatment is nothing. What we need to do is agree with him. No, that's not loving. And as a Christian, I refuse to do that, which is not loving. Whew, man. Share that one on Facebook or wherever you do your social media. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.